And welcome to the Sportscast, April 12th, 2018, the day after the last day of the regular season in the NBA, and the playoffs begin this weekend. I cannot think of anyone else to join me on this NBA playoffs preview than Ryan Krista.
Well, thank you, Santiago. I hope I can help you and the listeners out. To help break down the playoffs and kind of predict what's going to happen, or at least what we think might happen.
Predictions are never reliable.
No. They just make things a little bit interesting.
Well, last night I was at the Miami Heat game versus the Toronto Raptors. It was a key game. Apparently Toronto was putting all their starters in. And they wanted, like, their goal was to win 60 games. They did not accomplish that last night. Toronto did end up first place, no matter if they won or lost. They would have ended up first place. Miami got sixth place in the East. And here is the final seeding of the NBA, starting with the Eastern Conference. First, the Toronto Raptors. The Celtics, the Sixers, Cavs, Pacers, Heat, Bucks, and Wizards. In the West, Rockets, Warriors, Trailblazers, OKC, Jazz, Pelicans, Spurs, and Timberwolves. Timberwolves also had a game last night against the Nuggets to define that last playoff spot. Ryan, give us a recap of yesterday's games.
The marquee matchup obviously was the Nuggets and Timberwolves, game that lived up to the expectations. 48 minutes wasn't enough to decide the playoffs. They had to play an extra five. Timberwolves, being the home team, as I predicted, won this game. It was a game that obviously both teams needed, and the Timberwolves, a team that hasn't really been playing all that great, It would have been an extreme letdown not to make the playoffs after, they had a pretty good start to the season, but, they were able to end the longest playoff drought in the NBA, current NBA right now. So that is big for the organization, and now that they're in, anything can happen. So, and then, we had a couple other important games, like you were mentioning, for seeding purposes. You talked about the Heat getting to the sixth seed by beating the Raptors, and then you saw the Sixers in turn were able to get the third seed by beating the Bucks last night. And I don't think the Bucks were probably not too sad about losing that game, because I think they want to be in the seventh spot to be able to play against the Celtics in the first round. The other big news, before we talked about the playoffs is, we had two coaches let go last night. Right after the season, you had Frank Vogel from the Magic, and then you also had Jeff Hornacek from the Knicks.
Yeah, we'll discuss that after the playoff preview, but that's quite interesting. I guess today was also Black Thursday, and I guess in NFL terms, but I guess you fire the coach after the last day, not the night of, which I think is a little bit more curious in the NFL, because sometimes they can fire the coach the weekend of, or even like the game before the last one. So it's interesting how these things are planned out. But we'll speak about that right after this. Here's what the bracket is, the official 2018 NBA bracket. Let's start with the West. Rockets will play Minnesota Timberwolves. OKC will play the Utah Jazz. The Blazers will face the New Orleans Pelicans. Golden State will play against San Antonio. In the East, it'll be Toronto versus Washington Wizards. Cleveland Cavaliers versus the Indiana Pacers. The 76ers versus Miami, and the Celtics versus the Bucks. Let's start with the first game in the East, Toronto and Washington. How do you see that?
This is the matchup of all-star backcourts. You know, you have Kyle Lowry and DeMar DeRozan versus Bradley Beal and John Wall. If you're going to ask me, you know, just like the Timberwolves, I feel like we're a disappointment in the way that they finished the season out west. The Wizards could equally become a disappointment in the East. When you got two dynamic players, as in Wall and Beal, and not able to get any higher than the A seed, you know, because they don't have, you know, they do have some decent players, you know, the Otto Porter, the Kelly Oubres, the Martin Gortats on their roster. I feel like an A seed is definitely disappointing. But that saying, when you got that kind of talent, you know, in the playoffs, you know, this is a team that I think could stretch the Raptors out to 5, 6, 7 games and will not be an easy matchup. But I do feel the way that Raptors play this year, as long as they keep on, you know, sharing the ball and shooting well from the outside, this is a team that kind of changed the way of playing. We've talked about that weeks prior, where they went from more of an isolation team to more of spreading the ball and getting to that three-point line and, you know, taking those quick shots and moving towards more of new NBA Golden State Warriors way of playing than the older isolation type one-on-one basketball that the Raptors have been quite successful in the past. But this team is deep. They're talented, and I do think they will move past the Wizards in the first round. I'm going to go to the Raptors in 5.
Raptors in 5, it will not be a rollover. I would say the same. I was saying 5, maybe a sweep, but I'll go with a sweep just to be counteractive. Cleveland versus Indiana, the Midwest Derby.
It is interesting. These two teams played in the first round last year, Santiago, and it was the Cavaliers, the first seed, and the Pacers as a 8th seed, excuse me. And now they've, you know, the Cavaliers have taken a couple of steps back in the regular season, while the Pacers have moved a couple of steps forward, and now they're the 5th seed. So the Cavaliers, obviously having LeBron James, always gives you the decisive advantage in any type of series. And I, you know, I think that's going to be the difference, but I do feel like the Pacers are one of the most complete teams in the NBA, one of the most overachieving teams. While Coach Nick McMillan has his team playing well, he's getting the most out of players, you know, of Miles Turner, Victor Oladipo. These are guys that are having breakout years. You know, Victor Oladipo is kind of left for dead after being traded from Orlando to Oklahoma City. It was kind of a disappointment last year. Ended up going to Indiana and, you know, kind of resurrecting his career in his old college stomping grounds. But push comes to shove, I think the new look Cavaliers, with obviously the help of LeBron James, will carry them in 7 games.
7 games, that's a long series. Now, is who's the face of the Pacers? Is it Steve Lamb? What's his name? I forgot his name. Hold on.
I always say that, you know, the future of this team and
Lance Stevenson.
They, you know, they do have Lance Stevenson. I don't know if he's the face of it. He's kind of the guy.
He's like the veteran player.
You know, guy who, veteran player leadership qualities, not the guy, you know, who's going to make necessarily the difference in the stat sheet. But he does play LeBron James quite well, and that's one of the reasons why I feel like this series could go 7 games, because Lance Stevenson always rises to the occasion when he plays LeBron James. And I think, after all, I think LeBron James will rise up and have to elevate his game to the next level to get past the Pacers. But, you know, this is a team, the Pacers, they just kind of grinded out this year, and everybody's kind of waiting for them to fall apart. They don't have that superstar, but, you know, they play well together. You know, they're a slower, methodical team, but, you know, they play to their strengths.
They're the team of the future. So you got Cleveland in 7. I'm going to say Cleveland in In five, I don't think we go 6-7. 6-7 is too much to ask. Last night, from coming home from the game, I was hearing on ESPN radio that the Sixers in Miami would be the most physical series. What are your thoughts?
The Miami Heat, your hometown heroes there, they are about 180 degrees different than the teams not that long ago that were competing for NBA championships. They're grind out defense at first team, they do have trouble at times scoring the basketball because, they don't necessarily have that guy who can get you a basket when you need to all the time, but they play well together. They compete, They're well coached. I think, one of the best coaches in the league, and maybe doesn't get this much credit. But, you're also playing against a team that's coming in as the hottest team in NBA history into the playoffs and winning 16 straight games. And let's remember that Santiago, they're playing without, I think, their best player, and that's Joel Embiid, who could and should be back sometime in the middle of this series. It's going to be interesting to see how the series starts, how the Sixers play without Embiid in the playoffs. But Ben Simmons, J.J. Redick, Covington, they're on fire right now. They're playing so well. They're shooting the ball. We've talked about how this team lacks a lot of consistent outside shooters. They did go out and they got Ilyasova and Bellinari and Trey Hamilton. Those players are shooting well off the bench and kind of completing this team. They play, they're not an amazing defensive team, but, they get stops when they need to. Now we got last night, we had Markelle Fultz, who's kind of a guy, a forgotten guy who missed most of this year. Kind of a joke after many reports on the internet saying this guy hurt his shoulder and now can't even shoot the basketball. Comes back last night and he scores a triple-double. Youngest player ever to score a triple-double in the NBA. I don't know how much of a factor he's going to be in the playoffs. He's not won't be playing major minutes, but in the mop-up duty last night, he was able to be successful. So when all said and done, I'm sorry to say this, Andrew, I'm going to go with the Sixers and five.
I have to say the same. I think to be unbiased here, I think the Sixers are on a streak, and I think they'll beat the Heat. I think might come down to six, I would think. I think Miami has a little bit more playoff experience, and the Sixers have not been back in the playoffs for years, not as long as Minnesota, but we'll see what happens. It'll be a very close series, I think.
I'm going to say whatever game the Sixers or the Heat win, Dwayne Wade does it at home and hits a game-winning shot. I'll say that.
Whoever will win that series, I predict will go to the Eastern Conference Final. I'm saying it.
It's going to be a hard-fought series, and I don't think many games will be blowouts, but I just think the Sixers, they're playing too well right now to lose 4 out of 7 games.
The next is the Celtics versus Milwaukee, and this is a Celtics without Kyrie Irving. How do you see it?
I kind of got one of my themes for the first round. I'm going to say the lucky sevens. Why do I say lucky sevens? Because the seven seeds, the Spurs, and now we're talking about the Bucks, are lucky because they're playing teams, number two seed, that are not playing up to their full potential right now. The Warriors in the West, which we'll get to, and the Celtics. This is not the Celtics team that was a couple weeks ago, even a couple months ago when they Kyrie Irving. We talked about this. They're a complete team. Brad Stevens, great coach. They play great defense, but I just don't for, I don't see them being able to get to consistently get to 100 points in the game right now. They don't have enough offense. So if the Bucks and the Greek Freak are able to score the basketball, which I think they will be able to, that team's got some firepower. Chris Middleton, Eric Bledsoe, Jabari Parker. This team is complete. This is probably the team I'm going to say who will win the Eastern Conference either next year or the year after. But I think accomplishment for this year is getting our first round victory over the Celtics, which I think they might do. I'm going to call for a sweep, Santiago.
Milwaukee sweeps Boston. I think Milwaukee will win in five or in six. So it should be. I mean, I haven't seen much of the Bucks, but I definitely will see more of the Greek Freak, and hopefully
you
he'll.
Very, very impressed, Santiago. You know, they're not consistent enough because they're still a young team and they're still learning to play with each other, but you will see a team that has extreme athleticism, can score the basketball. You know, ever since they fired Jason Kidd, this team has played a whole lot better under intern coach Joe Prudy. I think they're just too good of a team right now, and the Celtics, you know, seeds don't really matter when you talk. If you told me that the Bucks are the second seed and the Celtics are the seventh seed, that's the way I feel like the talent level of each team is right now.
Well, we'll see what happens. Let's go to the West. Houston Rockets versus the Minnesota Timberwolves.
We've talked about it. The Rockets for real, Santiago, and I do feel like they're for real. The Rockets have taken an interesting approach here in the last couple weeks. Most teams, when they've already sealed up a number one seed, they're 10 to rest players. The Rockets have gone against common mentality of that, and they've played their starters almost full allotments of minutes each of these games the last couple weeks so they can stay fresh. And honestly, you know, they stay healthy. It worked. I feel like this team, as long as they can, you know, they also don't go dry from that 3-point line, this experiment with James Harden and Chris Paul has worked, I think, better than we could ever imagine. Combined, you know, with a new mentality of Mike D'Antoni, the team is, you know, when you think Mike D'Antoni, you know, you don't think of defense, you think of offense. Well, this team is running assistant coaches and their staff that are defensive mentality, and they've installed a great defense. They play harder. James Harden's playing harder than he's ever had on the defensive side. You know, and they just shoot the ball well from the outside. You know, they've kind of still got that D'Antoni mentality of shoot threes. So I'm going to, you know, we've talked about the Timberwolves not playing at two, but their talent level. I don't feel like they're an AC talent level, but the West is competitive and they didn't play as good this year. I'm going to, even though I think the Rockets are a team to be in the West, I think it's still going to go six games. So I think the Timberwolves, riding that momentum from last night, well, they're going to steal a game in Houston this week and force the six games. But in the end, the Rockets will prevail.
Yeah, I will say that the Rockets will sweep or win five. The Timberwolves has an interesting squad. Their best player is Karl Anthony Towns, and they do have Jimmy Butler, which at one point 2 years ago he was a franchise player for Chicago, and they got Jeff Teague. So we're seeing some veteran leadership surrounding a young star, and also Andrew Wiggins as well. So obviously this team has potential next year or like in a couple of years. But I still think the Rockets will pull out in a sweep or in five, because they got to prepare for the next match, next round, which we're going to right now. OKC Jazz. This is also one of the top two matchups I'm seeing for this bracket, and the Jazz are on fire, and OKC is a good team as well. They got Russell Westbrook. I can see either or. Thoughts?
This is, you know, I called for seven games between the Pacers and the Cavaliers. Same way, I feel like we got seven games here. Just like the Pacers are an overachieving team in the East, I feel like the Jazz are extremely overachieving in the West. I'm kind of, you know, got lucky finding Donovan Mitchell and the guy, you know, turning in the decent rookie into probably the rookie of the year candidate. You know, he's put this franchise on his back, carried him offensively, and then they got the big guy down low, Rudy Gobert, who's, There's no easy baskets down low when Rudy's playing defense. And Quinn Snyder, if I had a vote, would be the coach of the year. This is a team that lost Gordon Hayward in the offseason. They traded away Rodney Hood and Joe Johnson at the trade deadline, and they just doesn't faze them. They just keep on grinding out games. Again, the defense oriented, low scoring team that that's gonna work to get good shots. They got Derek Favors and Rudy Gobert down low, to combine, with Ricky Rubio and Donovan Mitchell and Joe Ingles. Great team. And now we're going to talk about a team in Oklahoma City who is full of star power, Westbrook, Anthony, George. I don't know if they've all fit together perfectly, but you got three proven scorers. Russell Westbrook just finished his second career triple double for an 82-game season. That's an accomplishment. But I'm going back and forth even talking who am I going to pick. But I think, in the end, you got to go with the proven shot makers, and that's the Thunder. I'm going to go Thunder in seven.
It's a huge toss-up, and it's interesting because a couple of days ago Utah was fourth place, and OKC was maybe down to six, and now OKC is fourth, and Utah's five. So, what a turnaround the seeding
I should have
pattern.
thought that up to third place going into last night. That's one of the games we didn't talk about, but they lost at Portland last night, and they went from the third seed down to the fifth seed. That's just how close the Western Conference was this year.
It's so mind-blowing. That's wow, that's a conference to be at. Next match is Portland, New Orleans Pelicans.
We talked about the Raptors and Wizards having great backcourt. Now we're going to talk about another team with a great backcourt, the Trailblazers. A team that improved from 41 wins last year down to up to 49 wins this year. Great improvement. Perfect. A team that just, keeps on getting better and better throughout, even from this year. A team that started slow, but, they kind of worked their way up to the third seed and, kind of held pat until the very end. The Jazz came up, but they held on last night, got the third seed. Lillard and McCollum will score the basketball. They shoot the ball well. Where this team has improved from last year is defense. They didn't have a great defensive mentality last year. They're bringing Yusuf Nurkić at the end of the year last year. Makes a big difference, helps them in the playoffs, but he was injured for the playoffs, wasn't able to contribute. This team, as long as they stay healthy, they got, depth in the front court. They can bring in five or six different players to bruise down low and battle for rebounds, and then they got star power up front to score the basketball. And then when you talk about the Pelicans, it starts and ends with the Brow, Anthony Davis, the biggest freak in the NBA right now. 7 feet, he can dribble, shoot, post up, anything you want, he does. Probably the most complete player in the NBA right now, especially at least future-wise. You would probably say LeBron is the most complete, but when they're talking 5 years from now, we're going to say Anthony Davis is the most complete NBA player. The second time in the playoffs, they've taken a couple years off, built themselves back up. Jrue Holiday and Rajon Rondo playing well in their backcourt. But I just don't see them being able to compete in seven games with Trailblazers. But I'm going to go say 6 games for the Trailblazers.
Six games for Trailblazers. I would choose five. I think Rondo being with the Pelicans brings a lot of experience in that team and also playoff experience. So he's been well behaved lately, and the whole Chicago experiment didn't work out. So hopefully his Boston Glory days will shine through
Remember
again.
the last year, Santiago? They were up 3-1 against the Celtics, the Bulls, and Rajon Rondo got hurt and wasn't able to finish the playoffs. If Rondo stays healthy last year, they eliminate the Celtics in the first round.
Little history lesson. I totally forgot about that series, but yeah. Oh man. And that team broke apart after that.
Yeah, They kind of realized, you know, they reached their point and they dissected that team, and the Bulls are kind of going in a different direction right now.
And the last but least, the best series. No, it's not the best series, but it is one of the old-time rivals, I guess you can say. Not too old, but Golden State versus San Antonio Spurs. Golden State is banged up. They don't have Steph Curry this for like the first round, and we got San Antonio without a Kawhi Leonard, which no idea if he's going to come back this round. But what do you think?
Yeah, I talked about the Bucks being lucky seven. The Spurs are a lucky seven. Unlike the Bucks, I'm kind of getting a little tease there, but I am, you know, leaning towards the Warriors winning a series, but because they just have a little bit more talent. If watching the Warriors the last couple weeks without Steph Curry, you can totally see this team is not the same. They don't play at the same pace. When their Steph Curry's on the court, they are the number one pace of play team, meaning that they shoot the ball faster than anybody on the court because they bring it up quicker. Right now, they are shooting at the 14th rate of pace of play right now. That's how much of a difference. So if you're playing, you know, you dropped your speed so quick, you know, you're not getting as many open looks, not just for Steph Curry, but for Klay Thompson, Draymond Green, Kevin Durant. It's a lot different team. But as long as Kevin Durant is on the court, you know, I feel like that's just going to be just enough for the Warriors to kind of sneak by the Spurs in this round. I'm going to say the Warriors do end up winning this series in six games, but I feel like the Spurs, obviously well coached, play within the system, well, it will not be an easy road for the Warriors in the first round.
Yeah, this kind of reminds me of this series, which was not a good series. It was LA versus San Antonio. It was like when that year went when Kobe was injured, and then LA made it to the last spot or seventh, and they played San Antonio, but it wasn't much of a matchup. But this one's interesting because we're going to see a lot more weight on Kevin Durant. So he has to play the OKC role in a way again, which I haven't seen much this season. So we'll see. His leadership has to be bumped up now.
Oh yeah, you know you're gonna have to see a whole new Kevin Durant. Yeah, if you see the Warriors fall behind by two games, I think you will see Steph Curry come back, you know, and hobbled on one leg and try to rescue the Warriors. Because, like I said, they're just a totally different team. They struggled the last couple of weeks without him. They don't have that same intensity. Whether that's just mean because they're just bored of the regular season, you know. The game changes in the playoffs. It's gonna, you know, you'll see who's, you see the cream rise at the top. You see who's got leadership, who doesn't have leadership, who's willing to take big shots. The playoffs brings out the best or the least in players. So that's what makes this time of year so exciting.
I would say Golden State will win in six, or sadly in seven, seventh. But you did mention Steph Curry. If things don't go well in the series, you think he might come back a little bit early?
Yeah, you know, you got nothing to, you know, nothing to wait, you know. Obviously, you'll kind of come back and you want them to be healthy, you know. But if you fall behind to the Spurs, they're the type of team that won't let you back in the series, I don't think. So you can't fall behind them, you know. You know, if you fall 3-1, it's going to be hard to come back against this team. So we'll see what happens, but you know, expect the unexpected.
Where do you think Kawhi is at? Do you think he'll be back in this round?
No, he could have. I feel like if he could have come back or wanted to come back, he would have been back by now. This is, you know, a long-term issue that you know the Spurs are going to have to work out. I feel like there's a little chemistry issue right now because I think the players feel like he can go back. Because Santiago, you got to realize this guy has been cleared to play. He just doesn't feel like his body's ready to be played. So in his own diagnosis, he has told the team he is not playing and going to
Wow.
rehab elsewhere. So this is an issue the Spurs have really never dealt with, the chemistry issues within their organization.
Might be
Because he believes
psychological,
that
but
he
also
wasn't
I heard
going
he
first.
doesn't want to play again there.
Yeah, you know, you listen to the guys you see on ESPN or Fox Sports, you definitely feel like this is heading towards a divorce in the off season. I don't know if the Spurs are going to be wanting to pay this guy at $200 million he's going to get from somebody else. So we'll see what happens. But you know, that's an issue I feel like we'll talk about once the playoffs are over. I think his season is over, Kawhi Leonard, though.
Yeah, and this is the first time I see the Spurs dealing with personnel issues because they usually don't have personnel issues. And of course, the whole divorce thing, you're right. I think I've been hearing Miami wants him, but obviously this is an off-season thing. It'll take a couple months just to flesh out. But yeah, the playoffs begin this Saturday, I believe at 12 p.m. And it's going to be a great.
3 o'clock.
What was that?
3 o'clock.
Oh, at 3 o'clock. My bad. I'll be. This is like Ryan says. This is like the perfect basketball weekend. It's all weekend, and then it goes out. It is. I mean, you're playing against the same team for like the next week, and it gets annoying. But at the same time, rivalry begins to happen if there isn't like one already. I think my dark horse actually in the East would be Philadelphia 76ers, as we said a couple weeks ago. And in the West, I think the Jazz are a dark horse. I really do think Jazz are going to beat OKC and might give Rockets a good match. So,
you know, we'll go play by, we'll go round by round as we, next couple weeks. But yeah, my dark horse in the East, I'm going to go to Milwaukee Bucks. I really think this team is too talented to go out too easily. And, in the West, I just think their backcourt is too good. I know they're a third seed, but I'm going to say the Trailblazers.
Yeah, I mean, the Bucks was my second choice. And then my second choice for the West was the Trailblazers. But the Bucks will be stopped by the 76ers, and I think Portland doesn't have a chance against the Rockets. That'd be an interesting match against Golden State. See where like the Warriors are at by then. But it's I mean, like I keep saying, this playoffs will not the finals will not be contained either the Warriors or the Cavs. I really do think it'll be two new teams. Cleveland, Golden State. I really think playing all those finals these past couple of years is catching up to them. Injuries or tired. I mean, it's tough to get back once again for the fourth time, but for LeBron, it's probably the eighth time. So,
yeah, LeBron's played a lot of basketball. Pretty much continuous for you said 7-8 years now, and but here's a fact though, Santiago. This is a first year in a long time, LeBron played all 82 basketball games.
Yeah.
And without James Harden having an amazing year and Russell Westbrook, he's probably the MVP slam dunk. Even though the Cavaliers didn't have a great record, if you watch the team night in and night out, he just carries them. If he has an off night, they have no chance of winning. Do they have talent around them? Yeah. But they literally ride his coattails. He gets the best out of each one of these players in the Cavaliers.
I will honestly say that I cannot rule Cleveland or LeBron out. I can never do that, especially in the East. That is more challenging this year than years prior, but it's still a winnable bracket.
Oh yeah.
But
we don't talk enough here about how good the Toronto Raptors are.
I saw them last night. They were good.
You talked about, probably not their best game, but this team, the way they've changed their playing style, Dwayne Casey, great coach, they're tough, Lowry and DeRozan are tough players, but they've improved their depth. Serge Ibaka is a great post player, but they've brought in, off the bench, they got Fred VanVleet, who is this unknown guy from Wichita State. Joakim Poeltl from Utah, big 7-footer. they kind of complete this team, you know. Pecan CM from, you know, another new player, you know, new young player. This team is deep, they're athletic, they're talented, and they're obviously a fun watching. They knew they had to change the way they play because there was no way they were going to beat LeBron James the way they've been playing the last couple of years.
Well, that is the NBA playoffs. And other NBA news, Frank Vogel and Jeff Hornacek got let go of their respective clubs. I was surprised more with Jeff Hornacek because I thought the Knicks had a long-term plan with him. Vogel, of course, I could see the winning record and losing record was not good. I thought Frank Vogel was the coach of the future. So what are your thoughts?
I did too. You know, I don't want to elaborate too much on this, you know, but I just feel like this team, the both teams inherited, weren't playoff ready. They weren't nearly playoff ready, and it's kind of unfair to be like go with the roster they had. You know, coaches can only do so much. Probably more of a change in direction the way they want to play, or try and changing the styles. And both franchises, Jeff Hornacek, you know, more of a Jeff thing. Karen had Phil Jackson kind of type of guy brought in. Obviously, Phil's not here anymore. Total new direction for this franchise. But both teams, they, you know, want to change their fortunes, and you know, so the easy guy who's gonna get the axe first is usually the head coach. So it'll be interesting seeing a couple weeks who each franchise is to have as their next head coach and what direction they're gonna go in.
Yeah, you're right. Jeff Hornacek is a Phil Jackson guy, so of course Phil Jackson got fired last summer. So we got this new GM, and but I thought Hornacek was a nice guy. But you know, some GMs have different views and different strategy to attack it, and it was time to go. And you know, like the Knicks have future. They got Porzingis. They got some good group of players. The Magic, not so much. But hopefully we wish the best for those two. I can see Frank Vogel, you know, going to a different team maybe. You know, there's always Phoenix. But, I mean, I'm not sure if they want to go and make that same mistake and, you know, go into to a really bad team and try to.
I don't think he's going to. Let's see, he's going to go back. He just got fired for Phoenix a couple of those.
Oh, well, there you go.
Both guys are going to be NBA assistant coaches next year.
That's what I was thinking about Frank Vogel or Jeff. They might become assistant coaches, but, you know, there's always Cleveland. No, I'm kidding. Okay, so this is weekend. Which game do you think will come off with a big bang this weekend?
I think the Timberwolves is still a game here in Houston this weekend, whether game one or two, just right in momentum from last night. Other than that, I think you're going to see a lot of home teams win this weekend.
Okay, so nothing special.
Nothing special, I think, other than maybe I see the Timberwolves stealing a game, or maybe, and obviously I think I did say I want the Bucks will sweep the Celtics. I think they're going to win both games in Boston.
Ooh, that'd be a good bang. And keep in mind, Boston has lost their first two games before in the playoffs. So that should be an interesting series. I think the Oklahoma-Utah every game would be crazy. So I would not be surprised if Utah wins in OKC, but we'll see where the strength of OKC is at.
We'll see. Always expect the unexpected, Santiago.
You know,
that's why we watch it. Get your popcorn ready.
I compare the Sixers to the Jaguars. What are they going to do?
Well, you know, they're both, you know, both made for the future, and they won't be defined by what they do this year, but what they do in the next upcoming years.
Awesome, awesome, Blossom. NBA playoffs begin. The playoffs takes over the spring and early summer. It should be a good one. People say this is one of the best. People are really looking forward to it. You know, for the past 2-3 years, oh, it's going to be Golden State and Cleveland. We know what's going to happen in the NBA Finals. But this one's a little bit more challenging, more closer.
Yes, I will, you know, and we'll see, you know. There's definitely not a lot more uncertainty. You're right about that.
Ryan, Krista, thanks for wait, how can people reach you?
Oh, you search me on Facebook at Ryan Krista, or you find me in Mad Dog Report on Twitter. Hit me up, see what I'm doing. A lot of different stuff, so.
And you're watching the NHL playoffs as well.
Absolutely, my Penguins were big 7-0 winners last night over the Philadelphia Flyers.
I saw the
So,
highlights. It was pretty crazy goals.
yeah, it was a great night. You know, this makes springtime exciting here.
A lot going on in the world of sports. And keep in mind, the World Cup is also coming. So, anyways, Ryan, thanks for coming to on to the Sportscast.
No problem. Thank you for having me, Sandra. I love you, Mindy. Bye-bye.